Now we have to contemplate to benefit all sentient beings. We must as fast as possible to attain the state of Buddhahood. And in order to attain the state of Buddhahood, we are now practicing Lamachopa, the essence of Lamachopa. Now in Lamachopa, now what they are teaching about is that we have taught about is the common meditation, common teachings, Rilang teacher, the lower, middle, and upper scope teachings. And now we are going into the portion where we exchange ourselves with others and how to cherish other sentient beings. Now in Lamachopa, in the root verse, the mind that cherishes others, all sentient beings, will secure them in bliss as a gateway leading to infinite virtue. Seeing this, we seek a blessing to cherish this being more than our life, even should they rise up as our enemy, in order to cherish all beings and wish that they will all have happiness, in that there will be happiness, we have all qualities, all wealth, all well-being. The cherishing others is a source of all well-being and happiness. It's all source of good quality. Even if everyone rise up as our enemy, we should be able to see all beings as being all more dear than ourselves. And then so we pray for the Guru to be able to give us a blessing to cherish all beings even dearer than our lives. Now, even if all sentient beings see me as their enemy, I also wish that myself will be able to keep to guide all beings as I guide myself. I want to benefit them as I want to benefit myself. And in order to accomplish this, I pray to the Guru to give me the blessing that I will be able to accomplish this. So when we are at this point, we have to contemplate and think that cherishing ourselves is the source of all faults, of all evil, but to cherish others is the source of all well-being, is a source of all benefit. So therefore, we should try our very best to practice how to treat all mother sentient beings with great love and great compassion. And not just that, we wish all sentient beings to be free from samsaric existence, and think that this is my responsibility. Take on the responsibility of benefiting others. This sort of mentality of exchanging ourselves for others, to benefit others, to take care of all sentient beings, give rise to great wish to benefit others, and to many times contemplate on this such that we become familiarized with it, so that we can truly give rise to the thought that want to benefit, to love, to cherish other sentient beings. Besides this, we must also think and examine, investigate very clearly whether we can truly give rise to the cherishing other thoughts. We can cherish and treasure others more than ourselves. If we cannot do this, we need to time and again to diligently work hard to familiarize ourselves with it, such that this kind of thought can give rise, can arise in our mind. As somebody with wisdom, we not simply just follow what others tell us. They will investigate, examine whether there's truth in it, whether all these things are necessary, whether this will be necessary, and only when they've decided whether things are benefit, are necessary, are accurate, only then will they try their best to implement what they have been instructed to do. And from wisdom that arise from a careful investigation, only then the realizations truly arise in our mind. So only after examining and knowing it, then can we give rise to the real wisdom and to diligently exert towards this end before we can receive a stable realization of cherishing others more than ourselves. So therefore, we're contemplating, investigating, then before we know that cherishing ourselves is all for cherishing others is the source of all well-being and benefit. So and to understand that all beings all want happiness and do not want to be have suffering. And when you see all this, when you see all sentient beings, immediately we have the thought, and this then is the critical point of actual practice. So about cherishing ourselves with others, it doesn't mean just to exchange the bodies or exchanging the heart, the mind. The exchange body, heart or mind is impossible physically. Now what actually we are exchanging is to change our mind with that of others, to exchange cherishing ourselves, become to exchange such that we exchange others, to see things from other people's perspective, consideration, anger, and only when cherishing things like that, this is the real form of exchange we are talking about here, to exchange cherishing ourselves to that of cherishing others, exchanging perspective, to see things from other people's point of view, and not to physically exchange the body or anything which is not possible. Besides this, we must understand that in the past, Buddha Shakyamuni, how did he attain Buddhahood? He attained Buddhahood because he cherished others, he gave up attachment to himself, and because of this, he's able to accomplish benefit for himself and benefit for others, and to attain the state of Buddhahood. And we ourselves, we are opposite, because we are unenlightened being. We love ourselves, we attach ourselves, we despise others. That's why, this is the reason why we are always in samsara and always undergoing endless suffering and torture. We must understand the difference between ourselves and Buddhahood, sentient being and Buddhahood. So we must give rise to the thought to want to benefit others. So if we can give rise to walk this, if we are going to walk the steps of the Buddha, which is to cherish others, and then to practice the sixth perfection, this definitely one finding we will also accomplish all the qualities of the Buddha. So in the Lama Tsongkhapa text, the root text, verse 93, in brief, infantile being labor only for their own end, while Buddha's work solely for welfare of others. We might understand distinction between failing one advantage others, a blessing, then best as equalize, exchange ourselves for others. Now, ordinary beings, samsara, unenlightened beings, are always selfish and always want to benefit themselves. So they are called unenlightened samsara beings, but the Buddha is only want to benefit others. And so therefore, the Buddha has attained, has already accomplished all quality, has stopped all faults, and it become the Shakya, Sengge, and the Buddha, if we can be like the Buddha, give rise to knowing what is the downfall of cherishing ourselves and the benefit of cherishing others, then we can be known as this is the source of all quality. We seek the Guru blessing that we can truly actualize exchanging ourselves for others. So similarly, like in the Guide Bodhisattva Way of Life by Shanti Deva, is mentioned that all the well-being in the world come from cherishing others, and similarly, all the faults in the world, suffering or change or suffering aggregates, all these arise from cherishing ourselves. So all these kind of faults come from cherishing ourselves. We need to contemplate on this many times we need to contemplate and familiarize ourselves with this. If we give up selfish attachment, and if we cultivate cherishing others, we can attain the state of Buddhahood. The Buddha Shakyamuni in the past has also used this method to accomplish Buddhahood, to cherish oneself and cherishing others is the distinctive factor between enlightened and unenlightened being. Now, unenlightened being are selfishly attached to themselves. Enlightened, holy being, cherish others. So we understand this principle. We do must give up cherishing to ourselves, and we give rise to the thought to want to cherish others. Otherwise, we can never attain the state of Buddhahood. If we cherish ourselves or in samsara, we always undergo countless suffering. So we have to understand what is correct, what is wrong, what is quality, what is benefit, and then to follow practice in this way through this understanding. Therefore, next we have to visualize the Guru and the Idam, and think that to continue to think that ourselves, we want to be free from all suffering, and we want to have all happiness and well-being. But with all any happiness and well-being, we'll never be content or satisfied with it. And all suffering come from where? Suffering come from self-cherish attachment, selfish attitude, all quality. How to get them? All quality come from contemplating, benefiting others, directly, truly benefiting others, even the state attainment of Buddhahood, is from cherishing others. And through this, we can attain Buddhahood through all beings. So therefore, the real enemy is selfish attitude. We do want suffering, we want happiness. We have to stop this selfish attachment mind. And therefore, think this self-attachment mind, even in a very instant, can never arise. In even a small little minute instant, it can never arise. So we will give rise, make supplication prayer to the Guru to give us blessing that that we can accomplish this. Now, even if this is the case, we must, what should we exert ourselves in? We should think that with any small attachment to ourselves, if this haven't arise, we hope it doesn't arise. If it's already arise, we hope it will stop. We have the mind to benefit others. Even where it has not arise, we hope it arise. Where it's already arisen, we hope it will grow forevermore. And this is the manner, this is the direction which we should work towards. So therefore, we are making the supplication prayer. We make supplication prayer to the Guru that they'll be able to benefit all sentient beings. And then we can give rise to the mind of exchanging ourselves to others. Now, when this mind has not arisen, may it arise. When it has already arisen, may it increase forevermore. So we pray to the Guru to give us the blessing for this to happen. Now, over here, in the Lama Chopa text, it's line 94. Sin cherishing ourselves is a doorway to all torment. Cherishing our mother is the foundation of all that is good. We seek a blessing to make our core practice, the yoga of exchanging ourselves for others. Now, this phrase is to saying that the downfall, all faults, all problems, for is come from cherishing others. But we love all mother sentient beings. It's the foundation of all that is good, for refuge from giving rise to bodhicitta, the attainment of Buddhahood. All this is due to the of sentient being. This is due to cherishing all other sentient beings. So as a result of knowing this, we make the yoga of exchange of self for others. This is extremely critically important. Because of exchange of self for others, we can attain the essence, the quintessential benefit. So by saying this, we pray for a blessing from the Guru to accomplish this. Practicing the in the 7-point mind training text is mentioned that in order to practice cherishing for others, we must contemplate the kindness of all sentient beings. We must feel gratefulness and gratitude to all sentient beings. We must understand everything that we have today, all the peace and happiness we have, comes from sentient beings, including every day our food, our drink, or even our daily living is reliant upon other sentient beings. So we have to be grateful to all sentient beings. We must also contemplate and think that all sentient beings, all their torment and suffering are extremely pitiful. So we need to give us a lot of loving kindness and compassion to all of them. The loving kindness attitude must keep on increasing and ever more. You must think, what kind of suffering all beings are undergoing? And we should, all sentient beings can be free from all this suffering, and give rise to the thought that to take on the responsibility of wanting to give all beings happiness and to bring them free from suffering. This is known as the kind of bodhicitta of taking on suffering for others. This kind of giving rise of bodhicitta of taking on the suffering for all sentient beings. So you must also contemplate and think that all sentient beings are now suffering a lot and are being tortured by a lot of suffering. All sentient beings, such that they can give rise to the qualities, and such that all beings, for them to be free from samsara is too difficult. So therefore, we think of taking on the suffering for all sentient beings, and then to want to benefit all sentient beings, to give rise to great compassion towards all sentient beings. Now we must think how to this, what to adopt and what to abandon, and for ourselves to take on the suffering for all sentient beings, and to dare to give all our happiness and well-being to all other sentient beings. And so if we can accomplish this, we pray to the Guru to accomplish taking on suffering for all beings. Pray to the Guru to give happiness to all sentient beings. Yeah. And Lama Chopa text, the root verse is from verse 95. O venerable, compassionate Guru, we seek your blessing. They all come in the obstacle, suffering, or mother being. Without cessation, ripen upon us right now. We give our happiness and virtue to others, and then manifest all beings in bliss. That's verse 95. Now, this verse here, if you explain it in a simple term, what it means is that, venerable, compassionate Guru from Tsongkhapa, all the way down, all the lineage Guru blessing, please give me your blessing that all the karmic debt, obstacle and suffering or mother sentient being may right now, instantly ripen only ourselves, may I be headache, all kinds of ailments, please let me take on suffering for all beings, let me take on all this problem for all beings, all this sickness for all beings, all this obstacle for myself. With regard to all good quality, any quality I have done, I'm doing, or I'll be doing in the future, may all this happiness I have, may I give to others, and so that all beings can be free from suffering, and all beings have happiness. We request for the Guru blessing that that this can happen. About Tonglen meditation, this meditation is the most profound, my training treasure, the most profound treasure, most profound teaching in the Mahayana, my training teaching. With such a precious treasure, such a precious teaching, we offer exchanging about this kind of giving, this kind of thought of taking on suffering for all beings. We have to firstly investigate clearly why we should do it, familiarize ourselves with it very clearly, until we can truly be committed to doing it. This should be our real aim, our actual aim, until it's very because this is a very great treasure, the My Training teaching. We should investigate why we want to do it, and then try our best to do it, familiarize ourselves very strongly, and then we can truly accomplish it afterwards. About this verse 95 about venerable, compassionate Guru, all the lineage Guru in the past, they will always recite this three times, and they keep on contemplating it to visualize this. So we ourselves, we can truly do our best to exert ourselves in it. We can also give rise to very, very strong benefit also from this verse, from this practice. So therefore ourselves, we must also visualize all these sentient beings, they are undergoing many suffering, and towards all these sentient beings, we give us a very strong loving compassion towards all these sentient beings who are suffering so much in samsara. About the manner of taking on suffering others and etc. There are many manner of doing it. For the practitioner who do this in the morning, they must think that in the afternoon, may all these obstacles ripen upon myself. And other people think that may all the obstacles that are happening tomorrow may ripen on me today. Some other people think that all the misfortune and problem next year, may this year ripen upon myself this year. So there are many ways of visualizing and doing this practice. And about generosity or giving generosity to others, we must also think that all the happiness and well-being we have now, all the well-being, all the past quality we have accumulated, may I give to others. Who do I give? We give to all sentient beings. All sentient beings who are in the three lower realm, especially all this being in the three lower realm suffering intensely, all the good, all the merit I accumulated in the past, may I give it to them now. About when doing this meditation, at the very beginning, we must think, we must start with people whom we like very much. This will be much easier. For who do we like most? The person like most, the person who love us most is usually the mother. So we must think that for the right and left nostril, the right nostril at the right side, we give our happiness. The left nostril, we taking the suffering of others. So first of all, you must think that our right nostril, the right nostril, when breathing, we breathe out, and the right breath coming out from the right nostril are all white in color, and giving all our happiness and well-being, turning to white light, come out from the right nostril and enter into the mother. into the mother's left nostril, and giving a lot of happiness and cause of happiness to the mother. And when we are breathing in, bringing in air, we breathe in from the left nostril, and then we visualize that from the mother's right nostril, the breath comes out. The breath that come out from the mother's nostril is black in color, which means that all the obstacle, all the suffering, all the problem come up from the mother right nostril and be entering into our left nostril in the form of black colored light, into a black colored light. And then this black colored light enter to our heart center. The heart center actually destroy all our self-cherishing attitude, destroy all our self-attachment. This is the way to do the meditation. So subsequently, we go down to the person who's second closest to us is the our mother. We think give our well-being, the good karma, everything exit from our right nostril and transform to white colored light, and then enter into the father's left nostril, and then enter into the father's heart, and then the father receive peace, well-being, and the cause of all happiness. And then think that all the father's obstacles, karmic debt, suffering, exit from the father's right nostril, and then come up from the father's left nostril in the form of black light, and enter into our left nostril, and enter into our heart, and destroy all the selfish attitude, all the self-cherishing attitude, selfish attachment, destroy all this negative mentality in our hearts. Gradually doing this exchange of self for others until it becomes very powerful method of meditation for ourselves, until we are truly able to remove the suffering and all the karma, the karma for all being, such that this can truly ripen upon ourselves, and we can give all our well-being, our happiness to all being, such that all being as a result of this be able to free from suffering, and then in the end to attain the state of perfect Buddhahood. As a result of us doing this meditation, we can truly free all beings from suffering as a result of meditation. And we greatly rejoice in the fact that all beings are now truly free as a result of our practice of meditation and have now achieved Buddhahood. So it gives us the great happiness and joy in our mind. When doing the in the root verses of the 7-point mind training, is saying they teach us the essence of this meditation practice. There are stages of doing it. First of all, we give all our quality to others, and then we take on all beings' suffering and problem into ourselves. Do we do this generosity, and how do we do the taking on of problem? This is to think that to use the wind entering and then exiting. This is the way we do the thing of the breath entering or exiting our nostril. This is the manner of doing it. What we need to do talk about is the third part of the 7-point mind training, which is that of turning all unfavorable condition into the dharmic path. At this moment, you should visualize the guru inseparable from idam, and you must think that in this world there are people, there's something known as they are impure and impure and impurities. Now purity means the increase of good quality, and then the impure thing are the increase of non-virtue. So the purity means the increase of virtue, impurity means the increase, purity means increase of virtue, impurity means increase of non-virtue. Now must also understand that all sentient beings living in the container samsara, the environment, most of them are afflicted with suffering, most of them have create negative action, are engaged in non-virtue things. So therefore the strength of the negative forces are powerful, and they create a lot of misfortune, etc. So with regard to the Mahayana practitioner, it gives us a lot of adverse condition, a lot of problem and suffering. Now all this is a result of the non-virtue karma or non-virtuous activities created by people. Because non-virtuous activities created by people, the negative forces also correspondingly become strong. So we must also understand, therefore, that a person who do exchange yourself for others, a person who do practice like that, they must think that all the adverse condition must turn into favorable condition, or obstacle must change to the companion, or the spiritual companion, or the harm can be turned, transformed into, all the harm can be turned to our spiritual guide that help us on the path. So therefore, in order to benefit ourselves and others, in order to exchange ourselves for others, we must also think how to change adverse condition into the path.
The perseverance in contemplating on emptiness and cultivating compassion is a way to eliminate suffering. We have to constantly think about our ignorance, which actually causes karma and eventually result in suffering. This is all because of self-attachment. Suffering around us is not caused by others, not caused by our friends, but because of our ignorance, which result in negative karma being actualized and then cause suffering.
So at this moment, we must supplicate for the Guru's blessing and be grateful for the Guru's blessing that all these obstacles in this very life, in this very instant, ripen upon ourselves. Because of this suffering ripen ourselves, we can realize that ignorance, self-cherishing attitudes harm, and we can also realize the horrors of negative karma. We must think that because as a human being, this is so difficult already as a human being, but if we are in the hell, isn't it going to be worse? And if we are in the hell, is something is inconceivable, unbelievable, something we cannot tolerate. So therefore we have to realize that because of all these things are due to ignorance and self-cherishing attitude, we really have to be aware, to alert ourselves that we shall not be manipulated by all this ignorance and self-cherishing attitude, and this is the manner of actually turning adverse condition into the possibility. Too, we must understand all sentient beings suffering, or their karma come from ignorance, and wish that all these sentient beings, or their karma, or their suffering can ripen upon ourselves, and because of our experiencing suffering for them, they are free from all their suffering. So we must, after we understand this, we have to contemplate on what they say in the Bodhisattva way of life, which is that luckily all this suffering, all this obstacle in this very life, at this very instant, ripen on myself. In the future, if they ripen on me in the future, in the hell realm, it's going to be so terrible, it's going to be unspeakable. The suffering is infinite, and in the hell realm, we cannot generate any virtue. We cannot come up with any kind of thoughts in hell, because we'll be too overwhelmed with suffering. So we hope all this suffering can ripen out in this life, and all this future suffering we can ripen now, such that the karmic debts can be exhausted, and that all being karmic debt can ripen upon ourselves, so that in this way, this is something like the suffering the future ripen now, so that the future will not ripen upon ourselves again. In guide to Bodhisattva way of life is mentioned that when we have suffering, we must think of the advantages of suffering. We must think that we cannot think that suffering is suffering per se. It's just suffering, solely suffering. Not that suffering has no good quality. It's not that. We must think that when we face obstacle, we cannot give rise to a kind of unhappy attitude. In fact, we get to experience this suffering. Through experience suffering, we try to understand other suffering and then give rise to compassion. And then when we experience suffering, we must think through suffering, we give rise to a lot of virtuous thought, a lot of compassion. Now, this is a virtue, an advantage. You can even say it's a quality of suffering. The second part here is that to change the obstacle into the path. Now, Panchen Choki Gyatsen actually mentioned how to do it. We need to contemplate from beginning time until now, all this suffering we experience, all this harm, all this misfortune we have experienced, is due to external factor. It's not not something that's given to us by enemy. It's because of ourselves. The real enemy is self-cherishing attitude, self-attachment, and these lies stay within our hearts. All this obstacle, how did it happen? Because every phenomena is selfless, inherently empty, but we ourselves think that it's independently arising, existing, and this is the root of all faults. All this is due to ignorantly grasping on a false sense of self. All these are harm arising from grasping at a false sense of self. We must also contemplate and think that from beginningless time until now, we're in a hell realm. We've born a hell realm. We've born infinite time in a hell realm before. But now we are very lucky to have received the Guru's kindness, the Guru's quality. We realize what is a real enemy. The real enemy is self-attachment, self-cherishing attitude. We realize that the mind is by its own ultimate nature exists from beginning's time as a continuum. It transcends samsara. All this is through the Guru's kindness, Guru's teaching. Especially now, when we realize emptiness, it is due to the Guru's supreme kindness. We also wish that ourselves can, in the Dhamma Dhatu, we can actually manifest a perfect practice of perfect wisdom and perfect accumulation of skillful means and enact all these enlightened deeds in the ultimate sense in the Dhamma Dhatu, in the Dhammakaya. Therefore, must give rise to the kind of mind. We do realize the nature of emptiness. All this through the kindness of Guru and kindness of sentient being. And it's through the Guru and sentient being kindness that we can obtain this human body. How can we understand, how do we know all these are kindness of beings and Guru? Because it's through the Guru kindness, we understand interdependently arising. And by establishing this, we see that all the form, name, sound are illusion-like. They have no true existence. We realize that all phenomena has no inherent nature. They are established only through adventitious fabrication, conceptualization. So it's because of this, we grasp the teaching on emptiness. So in simple terms, a simple introduction is that all that we experience, the good, the bad, the fortune or misfortune, has no inherent existence, no true reality. They arise due to causes and condition. Because of the interplay of causes and condition, from beginningless time, his nature is empty. When his nature is empty, and by understanding this, we actually change unfavorable condition into the path. All phenomena arise only in interdependence upon each other to establish its identity. All our Dhamma practice will need to depend on others also. So if we are not actually affected by the eight worldly concerns, we will not be affected by the eight worldly concerns, provided we understand everything is interdependently arising and exists only on a conventional, on a superficial level. Most importantly, we have to understand all the virtue and non-virtue, the showing, the manifesting of all this, adverse condition, favorable condition, is to persuade ourselves as a condition, as a cause for ourselves to practice diligently. And this is also the meaning of putting everything, transforming our daily living into the path. The next part is to receive the blessing to change all adverse condition into the path. Now there are four preliminary that we need to do. These four are: number one, accumulation merit; number two, purify negative karma; number three, giving toma to all the evil spirits; number four, requesting all Dhamma protectors to accomplish holy activities. Accumulation of merit is very important. It's a true offering mandala to accumulate merit. And number two, purify karma. Why do we need? Why is that our strength of accumulation merit is not strong? It's because of the karmic debt. So because of this reason, we need to purify every karma to give toma to evil spirit and accomplish all being to accomplish holy activity. All this to give us favorable condition to practice lojong. Lojong means the mind training. The third and fourth preliminary seminary, we do it so as to give ourselves to favorable condition for practice of my training. To change adverse condition to the path, we must realize that all adverse condition are due to the guru's teaching. We need to accumulate merit to purify karma, bad karma. When adverse condition come up, we must realize all this is through the guru telling us, teaching us. We need to accumulate merit, so we do mandala offering and to make a lot of offering and generosity. And this is a guru teaching us. We have to take on adopting what to, teaching us what to adopt, teaching us what to abandon. And we are sick. We need to seek the guru blessing that if the illness is good, then let me be sick. If I recover is good, then please give a blessing that I can recover. If I need to face death, then please give me blessing that I will die. If it is good that I live, guru, please give me blessing that let me recover, let me live long, let me come back from the threshold of death. If it's going to be beneficial, the manner of teaching above means a kind of supplication to the guru to stop all negative conceptualization. Similarly, we must understand that when we experience adverse condition, when we have illness, we must think that this is the guru's teaching us, instructing us, that all illness and suffering is due to the causes of suffering we create in the past. Therefore, to be free from this suffering, we have to stop the cause of suffering. We must stop the second noble, understand second noble truth, and then to use the four powers to confess all negative actions, all negative karma that's been created, about giving toma to the evil spirit. And what should we think? We think that because all these evil spirit give us harm, give us illness, and give us a negative condition, because this evil spirit are giving us a chance to practice. When we face harm and problem, we think of dharma, we think of practice. So because of this thought is due to the kindness to the problem given by all this evil spirit. So therefore we should rejoice and return their kindness by giving them toma and make aspiration for all this evil spirit that they will give rise to the mind of wanting to practice the dharma in order to cut fabricated conceptualization. Is also mentioned here. We pray to the dharma protector to accomplish holy activities, just like we are praying to the guru. We actually pray dharma protectors to accomplish our activity. When all, we have all kinds of adverse condition, illness, sickness, we must think that all these are due to our teaching of the dharma protector, saying that we have to even more diligently exert ourselves in the dharma. So we pray to the protector to please accomplish all activities, especially before you attain Buddhahood, all these activity. May the dharma protector please give us assistance to dharma protector to please help me to accomplish activities. Now to change all adverse condition to the path, in the oral teaching in Tibet, there are many different name given to it. Example, some people call it cutting conceptualization. Some people call it cutting the eight worldly concern. Some people call it converting all happiness and suffering into the path. Some people call it changing everything into the path, changing everything that happened into the path. So there are all these names given to this sort of teaching. This group of category of teaching are given so many names. Oral teaching like this are given so many names in Tibet. The 7-point mind training, the fourth point here is to put everything in the daily life into dharma practice. Now in the root verse is what you mentioned is everything that arises, whether it be good or bad, we have to diligently change them into dharma practice. To dissolve everything into our dharma practice, there are 2 points also. One is that when we are alive, how we should practice. When we die, how we should practice. These are the 2 points. With regard to the 5 powers, when we are alive, what are these? First is that it's a power of karma. Second, karma of familiarity. Third is a karma of the white virtue roots. Fourth is the power of destruction. Fifth is the power of aspiration. These are the five powers to take note of in the practice of Dharma when we're alive. Now, the first portion here, it means that until ultimate Buddhahood is attained, before we die, we need to diligently not allow the enemy or self-cherishing to control ourselves. We should familiarize ourselves constantly with bodhicitta, exert ourselves always in the positive virtues. The second power, familiarity, what it means, because it is the oral transmission from Lama Atisha, the lamb to enlightenment, and Tsongkhapa's Labrim Chenmo, and all the oral teaching, the essence within it. We need to give us a strong faith and to diligently learn it. This is the meaning of familiarity. Now the third one, what is the power of white virtue? Now it means that all the white virtue in the past where it hasn't arisen, we haven't learned, now we learn them. And what we have learned already in the past, may it increase forevermore, where it be compassion, bodhicitta, the wisdom and emptiness, all the six paramita. All these things we need to, wherever it hasn't arisen, we may it arise. When it's arisen, may it increase forevermore. And all this accumulation of virtue we actually engage in. This is known as the power of white virtue. Now, with regard to the power of destruction, what's that? Which means the, is a remedial antidote. All the faults arise from self-cherishing or self-grasp attachment. In order to destroy this, we need to have wisdom of selflessness. Only a selflessness can it really uproot self-attachment, self-grasping. We cannot practice patience. We have to practice patience in order to overcome impatience. We need the right view in order to get rid of wrong view. Now this is known as the power of destruction. The fifth is virtuous aspiration. It means to make virtue as a dedication such that they all change into a cause of Buddhahood. Like all the aspiration, dedication, we need to make aspiration, dedication, that they will become a cause for Buddhahood, a cause for bodhicitta, a cause for attainment of realization. These five powers are extremely important. The power is as important as say the Hong syllable. Now what is Hong? Hong means to allow it to increase forevermore. Through the five powers or the white virtue we create can increase and forevermore. And we should allow this five power to increase just like the power of the Hong syllable. In this life, we should think that to use all our whole life to Dharma practice through these five powers. Next will be the fifth portion, fifth point of the 7-point mind training. So the volume of mind training and then the standard of mind training. So what here means is that to allow us for arising of the two kind of bodhicitta. The path for rising. So one-pointedly, concentrated in a concentrated manner, I shall practice. Now the 7-point mind training is mentioned that all phenomena should be concentrated upon a single point. Now very importantly is through our eye and our ear to practice it, to acquire it. Now what it means that when doing Dharma practice is either we're listening or we are looking or we are reading. So therefore, is either through the ear or the eye. So after having it, we should one-pointedly in a sustained manner to practice it, so that it will become a way of stopping all defilements. Is the main force for stopping all defilements. If we can practice accordingly and to turn adverse condition into the path and not being controlled by adverse condition, then this can allow us to practice properly along the path, especially bodhicitta practice, you'll become very strong. Now, if we can practice in the correct manner, like this, ultimately or temporarily, now bodhicitta will never degenerate, but instead, will sequentially, progressively proceed towards attainment of Buddhahood. Now, Tsongkhapa's life story is also mentioned that because of practicing properly, practicing especially exchange yourself for others as taught here. Now bodhicitta will never degenerate, but instead will increase forever until the attainment of Buddhahood. Even with a strong anger, Strong anger can never change the practice of bodhicitta. No matter how awful the adverse condition is, bodhicitta will never degenerate, because estrange yourself from others. This is a practice for those of the high capacity. For those of a dull capacity, they practice through the seven cause and effect of generating bodhicitta. And the seven cause and effect manner of generating bodhicitta can degenerate. But the exchange yourself for others, generating bodhicitta for exchange yourself for others, will not degenerate, because for high capacity, and once the bodhicitta is strong, it will never degenerate. So this way of generating bodhicitta, of exchange yourself for others, is for those of sharp intelligence, and will not allow and will not cause bodhicitta to degenerate. But the other way of generating bodhicitta is the 7-point cause and effect, are for those of lower capacity, and doing that way of generating bodhicitta, bodhicitta can degenerate. Through my training, we can change everything into the path, even if it's attachment, anger, ignorance, all the body, speech and mind, all the external behavior, everything can be attained, changed into the Dharma practice. As mentioned earlier on, all this kind of the preliminary turn into the path, the mind training can also change everything into the path. In the oral teaching of my training is mentioned what Rinpoche has just said. The oral teaching of my training is mentioned that if we don't go along, not controlled by the three poison, through the three poison, we don't let it affect our practice. When it alive, is we do like that. When death come, because of my training, we are also not affected by adverse condition. If we can do it even at every instant, we are not affected by the defilement, and by always allow bodhicitta to increase forevermore, then this is the criteria of success, of the criteria or the definition for success in my training. Now the six portion are the vows of my training. Now vows of my training in total, there are 18 vows. First of it is that we will not go against the commitment of my training. Now all commitment we have taken, we will not allow it to degenerate. We will not go against the commitment that have been made. But once my training, we start my training, we cannot give up. We cannot stop halfway. We cannot think that we practice as and when we want. We cannot have thought like this. Just like the 7-point cause and effect of generating bodhicitta, we must continue consistently doing it. We cannot stop as and when we like or we dislike. We have to consistently use the 7-point cause and effect of generating bodhicitta. That's the other way of generating bodhicitta. That one we cannot stop. This way of exchanging self for others, of generating bodhicitta, this manner also we cannot stop. So the second vow is that we shall not allow the mind training practice to generate. The third one, this is that because of mind training, we always love all sentient beings. We always stop all the non-virtues of body, speech and mind. We cannot say that because we are doing mind training, in our mind we think like that, but in our action and behavior is non-virtue. Now this is wrong. The fourth vow is not to criticize others. Now when practicing bodhicitta, for those who do my training, they should not criticize the shortcomings of others. The fifth vow is even if others are truly wrong and at fault, then still we will not criticize them. The sixth is for all kind of defilement, we will apply the necessary remedial antidote. Example, if anger arises, we shall have remedial action, apply remedial antidote against anger. If there's attachment or greed, we shall apply the remedial antidote against it. About people who practice my training, this practitioner, they should stop pursuing of all worldly ambition and name, and also give up the self-benefit thoughts. The eighth vow, all motivation must be free from self-grasping. All thoughts and motivation must be free from self-attachment, self-grasping, the wish for self-benefit. And the ninth vow is that to being who harm us, we will not be angry to them. The tenth vow is that when others criticize us, we will not retaliate verbally. 11 is that when receiving harm, you will not exact revenge. Now, every behavior, the 12th vow, is that all behavior, activity, will not cause harm to others. Number 13 is that we will not give excuse for all our wrongs or faults that we have. The 14th vow, we cannot embezzle. Embezzle the source of income to the wrong use. 15 is that when doing my training, we cannot use my training as a form of we cannot use my training as a form of stopping harm from evil spirit. The 16th vow is that we cannot when staying with my training practitioner, we cannot give rise to sense of superiority, arrogance or self-grasping when being with my training practitioner. And the 17th vow is that in order to obtain a self-benefit, we shall sacrifice other beings' benefit feet of happiness. This is not to be allowed. These are the 18, 17 or the 18 vow commitments with regard to my training. So the seventh part is what to learn from the seven from the my training. The seventh point, my training, as to what we learn from and what are the precepts we learn. There are total 22. So first of all, we have to all the food and drink we have to transform. We have to transform in the sense that we are partaking of all the fruit and the drink for the benefit of others. We take the food because we want to benefit others, to have the body, to continue to sustain the body so as to be able to benefit others. So in the past, Dema Lochu Rinpoche at this place, he mentioned about the food yoga and the way of or how to think about, which he said when making the offering, we need to think that the food is like medicine. The food is medicine, and we partake of it, and to be free from the defilement. And during eating, during food, we must eat so as to benefit others. To benefit others, we take the food. Why must we think that the food is medicine? Why? Because in our body, there are 21,000 kinds of other beings or called wombs, so as to benefit these beings, 21,000 beings that's living in our body. We take the food as medicine. Taking the food, it is not to give rise to more defilement. It's not because of defilement that we take the food. Taking the food, it is not in order to feel full and to feel to satisfy our taste buds. We take the food. This is not the right way to take food. When you take food, what is it for? It is so that we can practice the Dharma. We can listen, contemplate, and practice the Dharma, and using the Dharma to benefit all sentient beings. So when taking the food, it is only for sustaining the body, especially in order to feed the 21,000 wombs in our body. And through this kind of contemplation, we take the food, then there will not be any faults in taking the food. When you change everything into my training, this is the first portion. And the second things to learn is in order to get rid of outer inner obstacle, we do my training. Now, outer obstacle refers to evil spirit, inner obstacle refer to defilements. And so because to get rid of these two, outer and inner obstacle or defilement, we do the my training teachings. Now the third portion things to learn is that everything should be motivated by bodhicitta. Now every good deed must be dedicated through bodhicitta for attainment of highest enlightenment. And if everything is motivated motivated by bodhicitta, all action will be a cause for Buddhahood. And when they use dedicate everything for attainment of Buddhahood, all the good karma that's created will not degenerate, will not be spoiled, are no faulted, and they become a cause for attainment of Buddhahood. The fourth part is no matter happy or suffering, it can be a companion for us. When we're happy, we forgot my training, and we only think of my training when we are suffering. So no matter we are happy or we are suffering, we must always apply the my training techniques. The fifth part is that all the vows and commitment must be kept properly, especially the my training precept must be kept as dear as how we cherish our own life. When giving rise to defilement, we use the four powers as an antidote. So especially after confession, we make a promise not to do the bad deed again. The seventh part is to understand that all the merit are sourced from the teacher, so we should know how to properly rely upon the spiritual teacher. The eight is that we will not be under control or affected by defilements. And then the nine is to change all favorable condition, to change everything into a favorable condition, be it food, clothing, wealth, use, etc. All these can be transformed into a favorable condition. But the tenth is that we will not be lost faith in the teacher. Cannot say that because we're happy, we're devoted to the teacher, but we're in a bad mood, we don't care about the teacher, especially when we're scolded by the teacher, you're not happy, this is wrong. So we must know every time, we must always keep a kind of a faith and respectful attitude towards the teacher. The 11th is that towards my training, we must be joyful towards it. We do my training, it's not for others, or we are forced by others to do my training, is because we see the advantages, the benefit of my training, and due to all these, to understanding of this, by ourselves, we do my training. And the 12th is to keep the vows in the proper way, to keep the body, speech, and mind, to keep the vows in the proper way for my training. With regard to the monks, they have the Patimoksha vow. For lay people, they have the lay Patimoksha vows, and important. Now, we must keep the vow very purely before we can give us the samadhi. Then with samadhi, give us the wisdom. So all this, because of this, we have to keep the lojong. We have to keep the commitments in line with the my training teachings. Now, with regard to my training, there is no distinction between Hinayana or the Mahayana. Now, in the Hinayana my training, they can attain Arahanthood and can benefit other beings. Now in the Mahayana, they definitely can benefit beings through my training. So there's no distinction between Hinayana or Mahayana. But the difference here is the Buddhists or non-Buddhists. Now for the non-Buddhists, we don't follow the wrong teachings from the heretical paths. The 14th point, with regard to every manifested phenomena, we shall change that use state for my training. Now it's also mentioned here that in the monastery we practice my training well. Out of the monastery, we forget about my training and do whatever we want. No matter where we are or what place or time, we have to keep the my training teachings properly. The 15th is for ourselves, be our enemies. Towards our enemy, we have a great compassion. To enemy, we cannot say we hate them, we dislike them, so we don't give them compassion. Now this is wrong. In fact, towards enemy, we should give even more compassion. Now the 16th is that whether it be favorable or unfavorable condition, we will never give up the mind training teaching. Cannot be that today we do mind training, tomorrow we do not want to do my training. Cannot say at night we do my training, morning we don't. This is not right. So we have to at all time we have to keep the abide by the my training teachings to extract the essence of my training. And what it means is to realize bodhicitta, and to obtain the wisdom and emptiness, we engage in the my training teachings. So the 18th point, to learn to attachment to this life, we give up mind training, away from the 16 forms of perversion, perverted thoughts, away from grasping attachment to this life. So we mind train. And the 19 is that unceasingly we have to do mind training. Not today we wish to do, tomorrow we don't. We forgot or give up mind training. It should always be consistently sustained, the practice. Now the 20 is that we have to stop all conceptual distinction and to concentrate on the mind training. Some people always think everywhere, think of anything. This is not right. The person must concentrate, be concentrated upon the mind training teachings. So the 21st is that through correct investigation, correct understanding, we engage in the mind training teachings. So the 22nd is that to be free from arrogance or exaggerated projection, be away from this, we engage in mind training. The next is that when we receive, when we hear bad verbal attacks or result from others, we will not retaliate. So in the text, there are 27 points to learn with regard to mind training. So the 24th is in the mind training, we do not want should go after worldly ambition. So whether we are praised or we are blamed by others, we should not be affected by it. So in short, we should be away from the 8 worldly concerns in the mind training teachings. Now what else to the points to learn with mind training? They are also divided into many kinds, but if you want to summarize it, there are 22 types of points to learn with regard to mind training. Now for mind training, you have to understand that so long as you are using exchange yourself for others, this we have to use it as a mind training. So and it is so difficult for us to gain a rare human body, and the human body is so short, and we really need to grasp every moment and to diligently exert in the mind training. Now in the root text of the Lama Chöpa, now it is in this vast sea of existence, there are many kinds of bad karma, a lot of misfortune, and this fall down like rain. And but we have to understand that all these are the ripening of our bad karma. So it's not due to our external factor like enemy. So this is verse 96. So and when unwishful suffering pour down like rain, at the same time they are purified. So when we think about it, we think that all negative action are be turned into the path. May the Guru give me blessing that I will be able to train my mind like this. The next verse is line 97. In short, no matter what appearance arise, good or bad, we say a blessing for them to be changed into a path of the enhancing the 2 bodhicitta, the practice of 5 force and Thai Dharma, and tune yourself to the bliss of mind. No matter good or bad showing, all this good or bad showing, we have to change them into the 5 powers of practice, and through the 5 power of practice, to change them into practice, always enhancing the 2 bodhicitta. So therefore, we concentrate on Dharma practice. May the Guru please give us the blessing for this to accomplish. Now, the next verse of Lama Chöpa means whatever occasion we meet, we seek a blessing, we may adapt it to our meditation by skillful means or the 4 acts of use. We render this life, liberty, and Dharma infinitely meaningful by putting to practice advice, commitment, or training of the mind. So what it means is that with regard to the 4 acts of use, may we use them. Whatever things arise, we shall combine this and put that into practice through skillful means of the 4 acts of use, and the points of things to practice to learn, so as to make the life meaningful. May the Guru give the blessing for accomplishment of this. We have a strong, firm, fervent devotion. We visualize the Guru Idam give us a 5 colored nectar light, and then falling upon ourselves and all sentient beings, such that all these sentient beings, karmic or situations are all cleared and all their wisdom quality arise and increase. And especially we pray that the Guru give us blessings so that all our four kinds of use, the 18 kinds of precept, 22 points of learning, etc. Everything teaching connected with my training can be accomplished. We seek the Guru Idam for this. So next, we want to talk about the best supreme talk and giving rise to Bodhicitta. Now, from the beginning, you know the mother. You want to pay. You want to repay the kindness. Know all being your mother, remembering the kindness, wanting to repay the kindness, wish them well, wish them free from suffering, the supreme thought, and then good compassion, and then seeing all being as precious as the jewel that can bestow all aims, and give us a high state of Buddhahood as well as all aim, is all the kindness of all sentient beings, from the very beginning, equanimity, all the way up to great compassion. All this we diligently exert in the practice, especially if we got the supreme thought, which is to take on the responsibility of wanting to free to give all beings well-being. So at this moment we have to think that for ourselves, with regard to ourselves, do we have the ability to bring all beings to the highest state of Buddhahood? Now we must look for the answer, and then to give the proper response or answer to it, we must understand, not say to benefit all beings, even benefiting one sentient being, we don't have the ability. Now even to bring one sentient being to the state of Buddhahood, we don't have the ability. What more to say to benefit all sentient beings? Now, even if we attain Arahant state, now the Arahant, because has not realized the emptiness of phenomena, has not perfected every quality, cannot benefit all beings. Now, who has this ability? Who has the ability to bring all beings to the highest state of Buddhahood? Okay, who has perfected all the quality? Only the Buddha has perfected all the quality. So the Buddha's body quality has 32 major signs and 80 marks. So with regard to all the quality, it is not superficial. With regard to the speech, can give 16 types of inconceivable quality speech, and can teach a teacher every kind of Dharma, and wisdom, understand all beings' capacity, and able to understand all the Dharma. So toward all being, always giving rise to great equanimity, great compassion, loving kindness, and can benefit all sentient beings. So the only way that there's a perfection of all quality, the overcoming of every negative acts or every shortcoming, every fault, is only a perfect Buddha. Only a Buddha can benefit him, both self and others. So therefore we need to give rise to the thought of wanting to attain Buddhahood. And with this wish of wanting to attain Buddhahood for the good of everyone, this is the actual generation of Bodhicitta. So at this moment, you must contemplate and think that to benefit all sentient beings, we must swiftly and most swiftly attain the state of Buddhahood. So may the Guru give me the blessing for this to happen. Now this phrase is in phrase 99, in order to rescue all beings from samsara, we seek blessing to be good in, to be adept in Bodhicitta, pure selflessness by love, compassion, conjoint visual technique, mouthing, giving, taking upon the breath. Take blessing from the Guru so that we are able to perfect this. The fourth part here is a wish Bodhicitta and the application Bodhicitta precepts about the 7-point mind training, as well as the exchange yourself for others, the Bodhicitta visualization, etc. They arise spontaneously and effortlessly. Is all these areas belong to the aspiration of wishing Bodhicitta section. By keeping the precepts of wishing Bodhicitta in the Lambin Chemu and in the Ananda commentary is very clearly taught. First, we must choose a Mahayana spiritual guide of authentic, who is authentic, give the offerings, and using the uncommon refuge of the Mahayana school, and then using wishing bodhicitta text to take the bodhisattva vows, and I must know the benefits of keeping bodhisattva vow. And after keeping bodhisattva vow every day, 6 times a day, we have to give rise to wishing bodhicitta and try our best to accomplish wisdom and merit. These two fields, we have to try our best to accumulate them. After having taken the wishing bodhisattva vow, we have to try to stop all the non-virtuous acts, and then we have to try our best to accomplish every virtuous action. There are 8 points of learning here. Now, in the past, Lama Atisha has also taught that keeping the bodhisattva vows, after having kept it, we must stop all non-virtue and always accomplish all virtuous acts, and we can really determine, put meditative effort in it. Even after 100 AN, bodhicitta will always arise and be sustained and increase. So once bodhicitta always arise and becomes stronger and stronger still, we must always keep the application bodhisattva vows, the vows of application bodhicitta. Now, regard to application bodhicitta, we, the manner of receiving it, there are differences in the length of which of the ceremony of receiving the bodhicitta vows, the bodhicitta vows of application, the application bodhisattva vows. So, in the commentary on the bodhisattva, the way of receiving it, there's the long way of receiving it. When Dalai Lama gave the bodhisattva vow, he actually always relied upon this particular commentary to bestow the bodhisattva vows. Now, in the guide to the bodhisattva way of life, the way of receiving bodhisattva vow is simply 2 terms only. And in the Ranakuta Sutra, and the way of receiving the bodhisattva vows, in the Lamrim Chemo commentary, all this commentary, there are many different manners. They teach many different ways of bestowing and receiving the bodhisattva vows in all these different commentary. In this way, in order to receive the bodhisattva vow, the main way is to is using all the Buddhas and bodhisattva of the 10 direction as the witness, and no matter is past, present, or the future Buddha and Bodhisattva, they are all our witness. Now, just as past, present, future, or the Buddha and Bodhisattva, just as how they have practiced, so similarly at the moment, we are also practicing, especially for the benefit of all sentient beings, for the benefit, all the deeds of the Bodhisattva children, or the Buddha's children, all these Bodhisattva, all their diligence, all their exertions, all these I shall practice, I shall emulate and follow their example. Now, this is essentially the content of receiving the bodhisattva vows. To receive the vows of application bodhicitta, there are 18 root downfalls as well as 46 minor downfalls we need to watch out against. Now, with regard to application bodhicitta, now it can be subsumed under benefiting all beings and then keeping the vows, etc. There are 3 aspects with regard to the receiving of the bodhisattva vows. In the Lama Chopa text, it is verse 100, receive a blessing that we may eagerly endeavor to put into practice the 3 Mahayana moral code, restrain our mind stream with bodhisattva vow, the single journey, the single path journeyed by all victorious one of the 3 times, verse 100.